I'm reading this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the presence of time?"
Wow, quite the scripture today. Fire, division, family against family. I think we need to start with prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our God, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. So every Christmas time we have carols that sing about the Prince of Peace. Yet we get to this scripture here that we heard today, and Jesus says that he comes not to bring peace, but to bring division. What gives? What gives when we hear verse 51 that says, "Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come to bring division." What do we think? What goes through our heads? What goes through our hearts? And what about us? What does that mean for us? People who are called to be little Christ, Christians, to follow in Jesus' footsteps. When Jesus admonished us to be peacemakers, and here Jesus is saying that he comes to bring division, are we too also to be divisive people? How does that mesh with our theology, with what we've been taught? It made me sort of scratch my head, and so I looked at other scriptures, especially in Luke. Actually, all of these are just in Luke, and this is just the start of it. Luke 1, Mary, in verses 51 through 53, after she is joyously greeted by Elizabeth, and she's happy, she says these words, that God will shatter the proud, bring down powerful people, raise up the lowly, and send rich away empty. Sounds pretty divisive to me. Luke 3, when John the Baptist, in verse 9, threatens that some people who are there looking to be baptized, there's an axe ready to cut down stalks, and those stalks are going to be thrown into the fire. Then in verse 16 in chapter 3, he says that the one who comes after me, Jesus, is going to baptize the world in the Holy Spirit and fire. Luke 4, when Jesus goes to his hometown of Nazareth, he opens the scroll of Isaiah and reads about the day of Jubilee. And he says that the word is made known through him in this time, in this space. And people think him blasphemous. And they throw him out of town, literally. They almost throw him out of a cliff. His hometown people. Luke 8, when Jesus was teaching and was informed that his mother and brothers were outside waiting for him. He says, throwing them under a bus, that my family are those who follow my commandments and listen to what I say. Luke 9, verses 59 through 61. Luke likes long chapters, apparently. When two people say, I will follow you, but one person says, please let me go back home and say goodbye to my friends and family. And Jesus criticizes him, saying, nobody who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Ouch. Another person wants to follow him, but wants time enough to bury his own father. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, no, thank you. Doesn't even let him do that. Divisive. Forcing decisions out of people. Jesus is causing some strife, some conflict even, not just disagreements. He's disrupting the status quo. He's confronting injustice. Maybe there is more to this scripture. Maybe we can't just dismiss it since there's all of this other stuff, and that's just in Luke. Maybe we shouldn't sugarcoat it either. Today in our world, we are a pretty divided culture, I think, unfortunately. We have a lot of partisanship that happens. People on one side of the spectrum and on the other increasingly look at the other side as enemies, even as evil people, statistically speaking. And that's depressing to me. I grieve that. And the reason why people increasingly look at the other political side as enemies and as evil is because people live more and more in bubbles and echo chambers, and they only hear themselves and people who agree with them. There's not a lot of communication between people of differences. Statistically, this is becoming true and true. You can look it up. And this has crossed over into all kinds of institutions. Families have been broken apart. Just as Jesus prophesies, fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. Workplaces, even in the church, even including our church, we have had some disagreements. We've had some conflicts. I'm not a lot like the pastors who have served here before. I think I'm probably rougher around the edges. I think I'm laid back about things. We haven't always agreed about things and the direction of where we should go. I've said things or not said things or done things or not done things that have upset some people. Know this, though, that I've never intentionally sought conflict, never intentionally sought disagreement. I've only prayerfully tried to move us in the direction I believe is God is calling us. Know also that I love each and every one of you. I pray for each and every one of you. I think about your lives, what's going on in your families, your struggles. And I am thankful for your joys and your praises. I'm glad that we have had our talks at 9 a.m., this open forum that we have had. You're still welcome to come on Sunday mornings. Also, I will be able to be at Wendy's on Friday afternoon the rest of this month. In the film, Jesus Christ Superstar, the film version of it, back in 71, the Last Supper scene is very different from what we have seen in other portrayals of the Last Supper, and it's probably a lot different than what we imagine in our heads and what we read about, especially in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is being very comforting and in his words. There's a cynical tone that Jesus has, and the disciples are confused. They're not even barely listening to what he says as he breaks the bread and shares the wine with him. And of course, there's Judas and Jesus who have this very tense relationship in that moment. And when Jesus says that there's someone here who's about to betray me, Judas just comes out and says, "Why don't you just say it? Say what you mean." Jesus shouts back at him, "Why don't you just do it?" Judas says, "You want me to do it?" Jesus, out of anger, says, "Go on, just get out of here and go and do it." A lot of anger being thrown around, and the rest of the disciples kind of look around confused. What's going on? And Judas leaves, runs away. A couple hundred yards, he stops, and he considers to himself, and he sighs, he pauses. And then you see, he looks up in the camera. There's Jesus standing there, holding out his cloak to Judas. It's a small scene, but it's remarkable and memorable for me. It reminds me, because I watch it almost every year at Holy Week, that we might have disagreements at times, and tension, maybe even outright fights. But even through that, we are called to work side by side in this mysterious thing called covenant. Sort of a nebulous thing where we love each other, we respect each other. We're called to stick together. In this covenant, we're able to love one another as God has loved us, as Jesus said. Forgive one another as God has forgiven us. Jesus says 70 times 7 to forgive each other. We might even have a row with God. You might be mad at God. Have you ever been mad at God? I think if most of us were honest, I think we have. I have. God might be calling or nudging us to do something we don't want to do. God might not be thrilled with something that we have decided to do. But always, always, Jesus assures us that God loves us, that God forgives us, that God walks with us, that God will never abandon us. God will be there, holding out a cloak to us, even in the midst of a disagreement. Conflict is the natural result of the gospel being applied to the world. It is. Conflict is inevitable. It's inevitable. When Jesus Christ came into the world, there was a lot that needed to be changed. There was a lot of requirements that needed to happen. And that meant conflict. Jesus was killed. The greatest conflict of all, by those in power who didn't want change, that didn't like the kind of gospel he was preaching. It was resolved with the newness of the resurrection and with the fire of the Holy Spirit that spread throughout the empire. The fact that we have tension and conflict in our families, in our church, can be seen as a positive. Now hear me out. Can be seen as a positive. It means that things are happening. It means that things are moving. It means that God is working on us, that God is forming us. Everyone's had a scab, right? You scraped your knee as a kid, you've had a cut. What happens when it begins to heal? It begins to get irritated. It hurts a little bit more. Right now, even though the earth might seem to be stable and unmoving, we are hurling through space at an incredible speed, 19 miles a second, right now. The Earth is rotating at 1,000 miles per hour. We're moving. If we were to stop moving, astronomically, scientifically speaking, we would stop existing. So we must move. It's a miracle of God that we're not just thrown off into space, I think. God has the world in his hands, quite literally. And if God has the world in his hands and nothing happens to us, then God will see us through conflict and division. It's not God's intention to remain in contention, to remain in a conflicted state. That's not the end game. That's not God's goal. The good news for us today is that God will bring us to resolution and to reconciliation if we trust God, if we follow God's precept to love each other when we don't always get along. So conflict is actually progress. It's progress on the journey of faith. It's how we manage it that God cares about. It's how we deal with it and how we deal with each other. That's what God cares about. We can model a different way of having conflict amongst a group of people. The rest of the world divides between left and right and language and race and all kinds of things and income. We don't have to do that. We could be the people that stick together. We can be the family who respects each other, listens to each other, communicates together through the power of God's love. And we can't do it, folks, without the Holy Spirit and the power of God's love. Let's model that love for the rest of the world. Let us pray to God for these things. Holy One, I pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us here today and each and every heart. We pray for the conflicts that we have internally, the conflicts we might have in our families, the struggles that we have between each other. We pray for the different points of view that everyone might be able to be heard and that we might have healthy, open communication amongst us. We pray for the way that you are leading us forward, and none of us have a complete picture of what that might be, and that's exciting for us. It might also make us anxious and a little fearful even, but help us trust in you and the power of your Spirit. Be with us this week, these days of change. Help us to be models for others who can reconcile with one another in peace and love and harmony. We pray this in Jesus' name, the architect of this great peace. Amen.